History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour three of the nation, we have the Rangers general manager Ross Fenstermaker coming up at 4:20. Looking at that conversation, coming off a sweep in Toronto, back to 500, sitting in first place in the pregames coming up at 5:30. We'll talk with Ross here coming up in 20 minutes. Here's the Chief with a little basketball conversation.
Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids down for that afternoon snoozer, and the G-Bag Nation goes all 56 inches around that rim. Always a special occasion when you are just under 25 hours to the official start of NBA free agency, but you already got deals going down left and right. And we find out, I believe in real time, in so many words, that Kyrie Irving is here to stay, at least for now. Okay, Dusty May.
Well, what is it?
He's here to stay, at least for now. What that means is he's not going to be traded this offseason. He's not going to be traded in the early portions of the season. I think at best case scenario, if you want Kyrie traded, you're looking at the trade deadline in February. Based on Dusty May, your new Mavericks head coach, at his intro presser today, was talking about how he's been in conversations with Kyrie Irving, and this is what he had to say.
Kyrie knows what it takes to win a championship. So as a first-time NBA coach, I'm going to lean on him. In a lot of areas, and someone as intelligent as he is going to bring a lot to the table for all of us. And so, he's one of the greatest point guards to ever play our game. I mean, he's a jazz musician, and so I can't wait to be around him every day and just help him on his journey.
Okay, so I believe Dusty May is clearly a fan of Kyrie Irving. I think Masai Ujiri and company understand, hey, we need this guy to help get this plane off the floor here, at least in the first portions of the Dusty May era, and getting to see Cooper Flagg with a legit point guard, and then perhaps build his value up a little bit more. And if you decide that, hey, we're not winning a title with Kyrie here, let's go ahead and let's get some picks for him, and more picks in February than perhaps you would get today if you decided to move on from him.
Yeah, I think they're totally handling this thing right. Who knows what might be on the cards here for the next 72 hours, and if enough things go your way and Cooper Flagg has a big year too, you could be in massive win-now mode. You know, I think in order to make that happen a little bit more, I'd love to see more playmakers come in that it could allow Kyrie to be under 30 minutes per game.
Mm-hmm.
To sort of preserve him, because I want the best of Kyrie Irving without having to overuse him like they did a season and a half ago that ultimately led to his injury. And then, yes, if it doesn't go your way, then let's play him 38 minutes a night. And right around the time he's averaging 24 points and 9 assists per game, let's move him to a contender and see if we can clean somebody out.
Yeah, I just think it's a no-brainer to keep him on the roster right now. And, yeah, maybe things really fall your way and you're like, holy crap, we're actually closer than we thought we were. We're going to be buyers at the deadline. Or, okay, Kyrie, his value is now back to solid around the league. He's playing healthy. He's playing productive. And then you go ahead and move on from him then. So I like the way they're approaching this thing. The Mavericks have also brought back Ryan Nemhard. Tiny man, going to be in year two as a rookie. Last year,
had a hell of a rookie year.
The 23 assist game. Right?
Yep.
We had him on the show at one point last year. And so they're going to be bringing him back. And then it looks like they have extended a qualifying offer to Musa Cisse, the big man, according to Mike Curtis. And I really liked what he brought to the table last year. I think that's a guy worth investing in.
Yeah, so, he played some solid minutes down the stretch for sure.
Yeah, super active big man with some athleticism there. So that's where things stand with the Mavericks right now. You have the Kawhi Leonard stuff floating around. I don't think that is going to be something that comes to fruition. The Raptors are pretty hell-bent on trying to get Kawhi back to Toronto. And Kawhi has said that is, I think it's only the Spurs, funny enough.
His old two teams.
It's the two teams he used to play for that he's willing to extend with. Now, priority number one.
Antonio, you get.
Well, yeah. Well, you get in the sense that this is a legit team
right.
And a title contender.
But the
Leonard divorce from San Antonio was pretty toxic. And so it's interesting that he's down to go back there and extend. But he wants to stay with the Clippers, but it looks like the Raptors are the team that's really pushing to get him, and maybe it's Brandon Ingram, Grady Dick, first-round pick, going to the Clippers for Kawhi Leonard.
Man, and I think that's what we're rooting for right now. Like, getting him to San Antonio would be a pain in the butt in division, in the conference. And if they could deal, could you imagine if they could deal De'Aaron Fox to the Clippers for Kawhi Leonard, and how much better that would make them, how much more composed and poised and better defensively, you know, keeping Vassell and Castle and just decreasing their importance in your rotation. Like, that's kind of that sent a shiver down my spine.
And you increase Harper's role. That would, that'd be a really loaded
And you
team.
Don't really need to lean on Kawhi. You could play him 50 games in 25 minutes and just get ready for the postseason.
Yeah, that would be a nightmare.
That was the biggest disappointment, I feel like, for the Clippers. Like, to have him play so well and then not be available for you so frequently in the playoffs is just too much.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the big problem. Everybody's looking at, like, the regular season. He played a fair amount of games last year, but how many playoff games has he missed over the course of his tenure with the Clippers? It's a ton. It is a ton of playoff games. So even
over
if
half.
If you're keeping him healthy throughout the regular season, at any point in the postseason, maybe one of your best players is unavailable to play. So it's been kind of a disaster there, with big-time expectations for Kawhi and the Clippers, and they were never able to get over the hump. But we'll see if he goes back to Toronto. Now, the other big stuff is you had Draymond Green with the Warriors opting out of his deal for the final year to allow him to be able to re-sign and open up money for a potential LeBron acquisition.
So his plans to come back, but he just wants to free up that money?
100%. Yeah, Draymond Green just wants to free up that money. Yeah, that's the kind of guy that he is, man. That's the kind of guy that he is.
As long as he doesn't want to punch you, he's the ultimate guy to play with.
Yeah, he really is, man. So they're trying to get LeBron, and then there's the Anthony Davis factor as well, where you have ESPN reporting that LeBron James would only come to the Warriors in a package deal with Anthony Davis, who is currently with the Wizards.
Steph and all his old buddies.
Yeah.
LeBron, AD, Draymond signing back there. Heck, should we trade Clay back?
Perhaps that could be in the
cards.
Maybe
we can make that happen.
They would have to move on from Jimmy Butler. They'd have to find a team that'd be willing to take on Jimmy Butler's contract right now. But that would be insane. And even Windhorst said, like, this package deal stuff, I don't know. They all share the same agent. Right? Rich Paul, who's besties with LeBron. Same agent for Anthony Davis. Same agent for Draymond Green. This could be just a big ploy to get Anthony Davis and LeBron James a little bit more leverage in trying to get the contract that they're looking for. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it would be fun if LeBron ends up with Golden State and you're seeing the two guys that used to go toe-to-toe. They were basketball foes. Maybe with LeBron, at least, ending his career there. They'd be super old. I don't know how much damage they could really do, but I do think it would be pretty fun.
It just feels like that Lakers squad that tried to get, like, Karl Malone and Gary Payton and all, like, the aging veterans together for one last awesome ride, and it just didn't work out.
In 1993, they ended the NBA All-Star Legends Classic. Okay, this was an old man game on All-Star Weekend. At that time, in that final year, George Gervin played in it at age 40. Maurice Lucas, age 41. Artis Gilmore, 43. Jamal Wilkes, 39. It's starting to take on that feel.
Yeah.
The Warriors.
Yeah.
That'd be Golden State for
you. Just name us the legends.
Just give us the big name dudes. Don't care how old they are.
Yeah, 2-4. They should go back and get KD. Why not? Put KD back on the squad.
I feel like,
could it work?
Have bridges been burned there with KD and everyone else?
I don't know. I don't know if any of those bridges haven't been mended.
I mean, they're so old, they don't have, like, all the testosterone.
They don't remember.
They don't remember.
It's the amnesia squad.
They have subdued the ego of the younger man. These are old wise guys now.
Did you guys play with us one time?
It is funny because they drafted the Michigan big Yaxel Lindeborg. And when he was introed as the newest member of the Warriors, he says, it's a full circle moment for me in 2016. I'm a big Kyrie guy, so I used to hate Steph Curry. That's how he welcomed himself onto the Warriors. And then, how about this? He was asked about his early conversations with Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. Yaxel Lindeborg says, quote, he doesn't normally play rookies as much. He has a history of that. But the way the team is looking right now, I'm going to have a really good chance to play, maybe even start.
Wow.
It's like, extreme confidence and also a little bit of shots fired at the rest of your veteran aging roster?
He will assimilate you, I think, is the phrase from Lindeborg, as Paraguay has scored 1-0 against Germany in the 42nd minute.
Let's go!
Tried telling everybody this Paraguay team pretty good. They advanced. And now fixing to go into half up 1-0 on Germany. Look at this, Brian.
I'll tell you what, man. You are a soccer legend. Did you really say that? Did you really say Paraguay? Was that your guy?
Well, I didn't call that they were going to be good, but you know, the U.S. undressed them in the opening game, and everybody said, "Well, all you did was beat Paraguay."
Yeah, I was sitting there thinking, like, "Yeah, we kind of were glad," but no, I tell you what, they
was a hell of a goal.
That was Germany's had some opportunities in this match and just have not been able to get it done. But man, poor defending right there.
They have dominated.
But you're
play,
right.
But,
yeah, you did. Yeah. You did say that about that. That hey, listen, that was not going to be an easy match for the U.S. to win, but. They made short work of that bunch in Paraguay.
They did. Embarrassed them.
Okay, so some other news. Chris Haynes is reporting that Oklahoma City is going to be picking up the $17.2 million contract of Lu Dort for this upcoming season. So there was thought that maybe they would move on from Dort, but it looks like Dort's going to be back with the Thunder. We mentioned earlier the breaking news. Ja Morant, flagrantly available, according to Brian Windhorst, sold for pennies on the dollar from Memphis to the Portland Trailblazers. Okay, so Ja Morant is now a Trailblazer, and a lot of people are already speculating that this is sort of the move before the move, where Portland still is trying to get into the Jaylen Brown waters and make a trade with Boston for him.
So Ja going to Boston, you think this is a turnaround trade?
Well, Kevin O'Connor says the Blazers could feel more comfortable sending guys like Drew Holiday, Scoot Henderson, and Shaedon Sharpe with draft picks to Boston for Jaylen Brown now that they have Ja Morant.
Has Scoot Henderson just not worked out at all for them?
No, hadn't hit his potential. He's had a couple of good weeks, a couple of good games. He was hurt, but... You know, it was him and Wimby going head-to-head like 5 years ago in the G League versus Euro
Could
showdown
you
or something.
They had a not taken Wimby. Would have been great.
Yeah, what a blessing
that would
have been.
I think with Ja Morant, he's still a good player, but never found his three-point shot. So if you're dealing with a point guard who's not going to defend well and can't shoot from three, you're dealing with... you know, one arm tied behind your back type of situation. I think that's why the Grizzlies kind of gave up on him and why they haven't been better, but still a good distributor, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's
in the
just,
right role.
He's got no three ball production. And then he's with the injuries when you depend on athleticism and to get to the rack all the time. And he started to like pull back on that a little bit. He doesn't dunking because of the wear and tear factor. So I don't know. Maybe they can get a little bit more out of him, change of scenery kind of deal, wake up call kind of thing. But
probably not a championship player.
I would not be betting on him to be a championship player, no.
Okay, we got a championship GM set to join us, Ross Fenstermaker. He's been with the Rangers for almost two decades, and he's filling in for CY coming up next here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Rangers. We're an hour and 7 minutes now from the pregame as they are in Cleveland and take on the Guardians. Every Monday at this time, it's the Chris Young Show, but his right-hand man is filling in for CY today, so we're looking forward to chatting with the Rangers GM here in just a second. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And the Chris Young Show is brought to you by our friends at Medical City Healthcare and Lexus. Visit your local Dallas-Fort Worth Lexus dealership today. Here he is in his 17th overall season with the Texas Rangers. It's GM Ross Fenstermaker with you here on The Fan. And good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. How are you all?
Oh, we're doing great, thanks. Especially after a weekend like that. What's it mean to scratch your guys way back into first place here this point in the season?
Yeah, awesome weekend up there in Toronto, obviously with the sweep there, getting ourselves back into first place. Won those games in a lot of different ways. We had some close ones, some great team wins up there. Good to see the entire roster contributing in a lot of different ways and putting us in a good spot as we got a tough test ahead of us here in Cleveland the next few days as well.
Yeah, it's always on to the next thing. And I guess before we get there, do you have an update on how Brandon Nimmo's face is doing after that big final out last night?
I think his face is doing well. He banged his shoulder pretty good against that wall there. So he's getting that looked at today. We're going to give him a day, try to reassess where he's at here. But yeah, big catch there to secure the sweep. Great play by him. He's a little bit sore today, but I think he'll trade that for a nice series sweep.
Looks like it's been a pretty busy day for you guys with one of our favorites from Surprise, Cam Cauley, coming up. What are you guys hoping to get from him?
Yeah, we've had a couple roster moves today, but excited about Cam. He's put himself in a great spot there with his performance in AAA. Offers us quite a bit here, the ability to play multiple positions. He can play second base today, but he can play second, short, center field, left field, third base. Adds a speed element to our roster as well. He's hit left-handed pitching really well. So excited for him to make his major league debut and contribute to this roster.
Chris Paddock, the other move that you mentioned there, Ross, you made a couple with Jared Kelnick designated for assignment. Joe Ross gets DFA'd as well. But Chris Paddock, veteran pitcher, you needed another arm. What are you hoping to get from him?
Yeah, Chris is going to be the bulk arm today. He's built up to about 80, 85 pitches. Obviously, Tyler Alexander's starting the game here. So we've been in the midst of a pretty heavy stretch with a lot of games in a row here. Our bullpen, our arms have stepped up. We needed a fresh arm, and Chris has been built up and obviously an established strike thrower in this league and somebody we feel can help us absorb some innings and keep us in the ballgame.
It's GM Ross Fenstermaker here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Are you the guy, or do you like being the guy that gets to call these guys and tell them they're coming up to the big leagues? How's that process go when you're getting to, bring a guy up like Cauley?
Yeah, I mean, I actually don't make the call. I allow our farm director, Josh Bonifay, to do that. It's a little agreement that we have since he's the one that usually releases the players. I also let him deliver the good news to the players when they're getting the call up. So I usually follow up with a quick call afterwards or a text, or if they're coming to Arlington, I know I'm going to see them. I usually pop downstairs and welcome them, but it's pretty special. Obviously, I got some roots in player development the last several years. So a lot of these players from the draft, throughout the entirety of the system, when they finally arrive, it's a pretty special moment for myself. And I know what it means to our entire player development operation as well, and the scouting group as well, who brought those guys into the organization to begin with. So always a great moment whenever a homegrown player makes a major league debut for you.
Hey, Ross, so what do you make about what's going on in the American League and as well in the National League with the disparity of the teams playing? You know, the Rangers, of course, playing like at a 500 level, scratching their way back into this thing. But when you're evaluating the leagues, how do you make sense of really what's going on in both leagues right now?
I'm not sure we can make sense of it. What I do know is that it's an opportunity for us, and it's created a way in which at 500 we get back to first place in the division. I think there's a lot of parity in the American League. I think we're all pretty closely bunched at this point, and presents us with an opportunity to continue to compete. And I do believe, we believe that our best baseball still remains ahead of us. We've played quite well over the last month, and obviously the sweep there in Toronto. But we got to continue it up. Continue playing at a high level, and if we do, I think the league has afforded us an opportunity to consider October if things go well for us down the stretch.
You mentioned, okay, that's exciting. You mentioned the last month, 17-11. Do you think that's representative of what this team really is?
I think it's more on par with the team that we thought we ultimately built at the outset of the season. Guys kind of coming into their own. We've had to do it a lot of different ways. We haven't, unfortunately, been afforded the opportunity to play at full strength for most of the year, and we got pretty close to it before recent injury news to Wyatt Langford. But feel really good about the group of guys that we have, the circumstances that we've been dealt, and the way that we've been playing. So hopefully the boys can keep it up.
Yeah, it's tough because you've never really had your full team together, right? It's like, here's EC, he's back in the lineup, boom, Wyatt goes down. Same thing with Corey. So what is the timeline for Wyatt, but also how do you balance the evaluation of your club since you haven't really been able to see them at full strength?
Yeah, it's a challenge. I mean, we're looking at the All-Star break, right after the All-Star break for Wyatt, getting back to full strength, and hopefully, we continue to play well in the interim and hold serve here, but it's just part of the game. Injuries are part of the game. We've had quite a few of them this year. That being said, I think it speaks volumes to the resilience of the team that we have, the competitors that we have, and the opportunities that have presented themselves for some other players to step up. And they've performed in those opportunities and put us in a position to continue to compete down the stretch.
With how tight the standings are across the league, like, does it make it more challenging to forecast which teams might be wanting to sell at the deadline?
Well, I think so. I mean, I we're going to continue to have those calls, field those calls, see why myself, a few of others in our exec group, as we get closer to the deadline, and feel out what teams are ultimately thinking about doing. But, I think right now it's still a little bit early for that. We're mostly just focused on playing our best baseball and doing whatever we can to continue to put ourselves in a position where we can make those calls and make those calls more on the buy side of things. But we've got to continue to play good baseball and position ourselves for that. So I'm looking forward to Cleveland and seeing where this goes.
Hey, Ross, CY was kind of talking about you guys have had to kind of float some schedules and stuff and where you're meeting when it comes to the draft and stuff. How have things been for that? You always talk about the injury challenges and things you've had to deal with, but how the meetings for getting ready for the draft and stuff been progressing for you guys?
Oh, they've been great. I mean, our amateur group, Kip Fagg, Josh Boyd, the entire group, they do such a tremendous job of preparing us. I was listening this morning. I've listened in on a lot of calls. We're in such a good spot. Really excited for this draft. It seems like it's a very deep group. We pick at 16, so excited about the opportunities that we're going to have there. I will say that we're about to turn the page here to July, which is by far the busiest month on the baseball operations schedule, between the draft, the trade deadline. So there's a lot of things for us to balance on top of the day-to-day with the major league team and some of the injuries and the pitching situations that we've had to deal with. But, we're excited for this next month. It's a fun time to work in baseball operations.
Well, with that being said, Ross, and you mentioned all the things that you have to do, is that broken up into, like, do you have specific guys handling certain things for you, or is it a collective group kind of working through all the things that you just mentioned?
Yeah, it's actually a little bit of both. I mean, we have specific directors or assistant general managers that are overseeing certain areas of the operation and ultimately feeding that information to us. But we have a pretty small executive team and we collaborate on almost every decision. Ultimately, that comes to CY and myself to kind of make the final calls on these things. And we have such a great working relationship that it's very, we're 99% of the time we're on the same page with these things. So, but we have, it's a collective group in terms of how we drive that and ultimately manage what is a very, very busy time of the calendar year.
Rangers GM Ross Fenstermaker with us here in the G-Bag Nation. What's the latest on Jordan Montgomery and Cody Bradford?
Yeah, Monty's doing good. He's going to go back out for another rehab outing. Should be built up to 3 innings later this week. I believe that's Thursday or Friday of this week. And Cody is also doing well. He's going to be throwing live VPs this week, and we're going to continue building him up. It's probably looking like post-All-Star break, he'll be back in a rehab outing out of an affiliate, but he's doing well in his progression back.
As we hit the midway point of the season, what do you think about the job Skip Schumacher's done overall? What stood out to you about his first half of the season?
I think he's done a great job so far. Obviously, as we're talking about different adversities that we've had to overcome as a team with some of the injuries and get to know the guys and establishing a style of play, I think it's starting to take form. I can say, my working relationship with him, the communication has been exceptional. We're very aligned in everything that we ultimately want to accomplish on the field collectively as an organization. I think he's done a great job so far of involving a lot of different constituents in the decision-making process and leading the group, and I'm excited to see what continues to transpire here this season.
What was the, here in radio, I love it when you get an intern to like big shot type of story, right? And two of our co-hosts here, Woolchuck and Schiafalo, started with us as interns like 10 years ago. You started as a Rangers intern, right? Like in 2010. What's it take in baseball to be on that journey and to make it to the top as you have?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a heck of a ride. I'm so incredibly blessed. This organization has treated me so well. I think my goal always has been to just dominate the job that I'm in, you know, whatever that is, whatever this organization needs. I've done almost everything within this organization. They've blessed me with a lot of different opportunities. And the most recent one is that of general manager. And my focus is, like those times in the past, dominating the current role that I'm in is to the best of my ability. So, you know, obviously there's some vision that you have for your long-term future. When you get in, you don't know how that's going to play out, but you focus on being where your feet are and doing the very best you can to dominate the job. The rest takes care of itself.
History for Tyler Alexander tonight. Hi, first guy ever to start a game after closing the previous two nights. What do you think is in store tonight for Tyler as he gets to make MLB history?
Pretty unique, huh?
Yeah.
Local Southlake kid being able to be in the record books is closing multiple games and then starting. So it's three in a row for him. You would say I think it was 10 and 15 pitches, those games that he closed out. So, you know, I think they were a little bit lower stress in terms of pitch count, but obviously finishing games in Toronto is high stress. So Tyler's a pro. He's been unbelievable. His versatility, the ability to close games, open games, pitch mid-leverage pockets versus lefties throughout the season. Great job by our scouting group to find somebody who fits in multiple ways and multiple roles on this club. So excited to see him go in the record books tonight.
Well, thanks for giving us your time. Congratulations on all of your success, Ross, and give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
There he goes. Ross Fenstermaker, brought to you by Medical City Healthcare and by Lexus. Visit your local Dallas-Fort Worth Lexus dealership today. All righty. When we come back, boys, what are we doing here, Chief? What you got?
Phil Mickelson had a bad.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Weekend.
Oh, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, and thanks to the Rangers general manager, Ross Fenstermaker, for joining us. It's time now for the Chiefs Hodge.
Yes, sir. Lots to get to right after this.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening
to
you guys?
Well, it is the home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly. No one's listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that, you rude mother.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Little shock jock stuff.
How about Uruguay getting bounced out of the World Cup and the governing body was so ticked off that they canceled the team's charter flight home and they had to fly commercial.
I thought that was a ball sacking thing.
I mean, USA Today,
find your own way home.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they told all the players on your own.
Like what a punishment right there.
I thought it was a joke.
You don't deserve to have the charter flight home.
Yeah, I don't.
It's like, did they already have the charter flight here in America? Like that thing's just going to fly back with nobody on it?
That is wild. Yeah, that's how I imagined it. That was my first question.
It's like, if the charter flight's already here, it's going to have to go back. I guess we'll just fly nobody on it. We want to make a statement. We want to make a point. I hope these guys remember this 4 years from now. They better not freaking lose again.
I don't know. Maybe somebody from the Cowboys knows.
End up playing for somebody else.
Isn't there? Don't you just kind of like you book it and there's like a cancellation policy? American Airlines is going to send over a bird here, configured how you want it.
They're just willing to eat that cost, like whatever.
Yeah,
but
there had to have been like a more than a 24-hour cancellation policy on that.
Yeah,
that's petty.
Well, the pilots left an embarrassment.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, dude. That
you guys
is,
can get your own way home. Yeah. Savage.
Pretty dang disrespectful across the board, but
soccer players pool together and get their own plane.
I thought the SEC just meant more, but apparently it's
South America.
South American soccer just means more. We got the word this weekend. The
didn't
Buffalo
South
Bills,
Korea, am I tripping? Didn't South Korea like blur one of their coaches out?
They did.
It was during a press conference, and it blurred one of the coaches out, bro. This guy sucks. Don't worry about him. We're not going to offend you with his face.
Wow,
this guy
really
embarrassed us.
This face is triggering for some audiences.
I see this. That's hilarious.
Press conference of shame.
Yeah, an elimination press conference. We don't even want to hear this guy. We don't want to see this guy. That's amazing, dude.
He's going straight to the Squid Game.
Okay, how about O.J. Simpson? The Bills will not be honoring O.J. at their new stadium.
No high mark?
Yeah, I guess they're just using it as their opportunity, right? They open a new building. We don't have to carry him over. I mean, it is a little bizarre. Why didn't you just strip him from the old stadium? If this is how you felt.
Well, because they would have had to do something, you know?
So, actual work.
Yeah.
Now we don't actually have to put you in this one.
It's a clean slate.
Leave you out.
We've been busy binge drinking and jumping off Winnebagos. We don't have time to take the juice's number down.
Good point.
If you've ever been to the old Buffalo Stadium.
The Wall of Honor or whatever.
Has about 75 dudes up on that thing.
Oh, wow.
They could do without one. Like, jeez. Frank Trapuka is up on that Wall of Honor.
Frank's
thing.
No juice, man. No juice. Yeah.
Wow.
I get it. I think it's...
There's a lot of folks up there kind of going, who? AFL guys, I get it, but they of all the stadiums I've been to, that one had the biggest Wall of Honor. I remember the Cardinals. The Cardinals had players that were like Rams players. They had some guys. I remember going to that Edward Jones Dome place in St. Louis.
It was a strange time.
And it was like weird to have like players from a combination of players up on the wall of
different franchises.
And I was like going, what? What are we doing over
here?
We
have a shared history.
Yeah, whatever.
I guess this spot they just broke ground on in Cleveland
German
is going
with the
to be
equalizer, by the way.
Oh, it's 1-1.
Yeah,
okay.
That was fun while it lasted.
We've been on upset watch, and I'm cheering for all the upsets to hopefully get America the easiest path possible. But apparently this new stadium in Cleveland they just broke ground on is going to be the state-of-the-art stadium amongst state-of-the-art stadiums. Yeah.
Who
knows if they'll be ready to make the playoffs by then. Apparently they got a pretty heated QB battle right now between Shedeur Sanders and Deshaun Watson.
It is.
But their new spot opening in 2029 is going to be the number one stadium in the world there for a while.
Catch
Super
me out.
Bowl destination,
Let's
Cleveland,
go.
Ohio.
Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks.
All right, dude. I'm excited to see this Buffalo Stadium. It's going to be pretty freaking nice.
Mm. It's like a glass roof, so you can be inside without...
Like the European stadium.
I think it's open.
The seats are open.
Like, at least over the field.
Over the field.
Yeah,
yes,
field's
but
open.
The seats are covered.
Could you imagine them doing a Super Bowl in that cold of a town outdoors?
Supposedly
not
they
named
are.
New York City. Oh, they are?
They're going to get
that's
one?
Part of the deal, yes. If you build a new stadium.
Watch the Cowboys catch that one.
You go ahead and get yourself a Super Bowl.
Cowboys got to go play in Buffalo.
I mean, it was the risk they took with New York.
That was Seattle, Denver.
Yeah. Terrible game.
Yeah, awful game. Awful. Okay, speaking of awful, no one had a worse weekend than Phil Mickelson. Even you, one-arm Matt Miller, did not have as bad of a weekend as Phil Mickelson just had. We know a few weeks ago we got the word that he had been kicked out of a San Diego golf club over allegations. He made unwanted physical contact with a female employee. That was according to the Golf Digest. And now you get the sort of the bombshell story here. And there is some interesting details. Now,
evidently, he went after Pat Perez's ex-wife too.
Yeah, while they were still married.
Yeah,
it was.
He was married.
He's been married for a long time. He was a family man. That was one of the things everybody loved about him. Wife and kids, always out there on the tour.
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson, lovable dude, and he's kind of gone off the wagon a little bit. Yeah. So, apparently, at one point, you mentioned the Perez situation. He's buddies with Pat Perez, and Perez's wife, Ashley, apparently they were all out at some, you know, they were all hanging out together. Mickelson was hanging out with Perez and his wife, and at one point Perez excuses himself to go to the restroom, And she is claiming that Mickelson took out his phone and showed her a full body picture of himself naked.
Oh.
Hitting bombs.
Phil says to me, quote, I'm going to leave my bedroom door open tonight. When Pat falls asleep, I want you to come see me. We were staying next door to Phil, and Pat still had to play in the tournament. The article said she told her husband when the tournament was over, and Mickelson later apologized to Pat. So that is...
Apology not accepted, bro.
Not going to be accepted.
He must have thought he looked great
in
that
photo. He had the perfect angle. Everything was rocking.
Holy moly.
Got some blue chew from Choppy.
He's a heavy, droopy guy.
Maybe this is back in like 20. I think this is back in 2015. So maybe he was a little bit more.
He was getting in shape, Phil.
Shredded
in
the man
boobs. Yeah. Check a little this bit out. More impressive. Been working out.
Got a fresh pump in.
I don't look like a sea lion anymore.
Like a sea lion.
But this one. I mean, that one is next level ridiculous. This one's pretty wild.
Well, there's another one, wild one.
Is he getting ready to run for public office or something with a reputation like this? This is how they write it. Mickelson became close with a fellow member at the Bridges, one of the country clubs, and the guy that he was friends with owned a big house overlooking the golf course, which Mickelson frequented. This guy's house. Another Bridges member who regularly played golf with Mickelson says, quote, Phil would give his phone to a young man in the pro shop and pay him $500 to just drive around the course for 3 or 4 hours because his wife, Amy, was tracking his phone. So she was starting to understand that Phil is a wild hyena.
Oh, no.
Like one of the quotes in this is Phil's a wild hyena. Amy tried to cage him and that was never going to work. And so his wife is tracking the phone, so he's paying somebody $500 to just drive around the golf course so that when she picks up the tracker to see, she's like, oh, yeah, he's on the golf course. Everything's above board. Phil's doing it right, man. He's a great husband.
Oh, yeah, he's doing it awesome.
So she would think he was out on the course, and that gave Phil time to sneak over to this guy's house and have his secret rendezvous.
Damn.
How does the member know all of this? Quote, the kid from the pro shop told me.
Word gets around,
kid got the $500. Wow. Just let the cat out of the bag there.
Should have got an
bit.
NDA for his money.
Jeez. Yeah, and it wasn't just employees. Mickelson would give his phone to members of the club. He'd be like, hey, if it's okay, I'm just going to put my phone in your car. I'll catch up with you on the back nine.
Just drive around with this, please.
Yeah, don't answer it. Put it on silent.
The member who was friendly with the pro shop employee says, quote, everyone at the club knew what was going on, and eventually his wife found out, and the attorney's not responding, things like that. But really, really next level debauchery there from the quote-unquote wild hyena freak monster that is Lefty Phil Mickelson.
That would have been a good nickname for him in his
freak
prime.
Freak monster?
Wild hyena.
Wild hyena.
Freak monster. Either one of those.
Either one. They both apply.
Just a freaky man.
He is a very, very savage individual.
Oh. Now we
did not have a good weekend. There is no question about that. Now, grade this here, fellas. What do we think?
B-.
Houston Stadium. No. FIFA World Cup signature food. Strawberry buffalo chicken tenders.
That's an interesting blend of things. Strawberry buffalo chicken tenders.
Slightly sticky, candy red chicken tenders dressed in a strawberry buffalo glaze.
Could be very much, very like
I'd give it a try. Why not?
Asian with the
Asian zing.
Yeah.
I'm in on this 100%. When I first read it, I'm like, okay, this is kind of crossing the line here. But I'm surprised also with the strawberry. It's not throwing you off. The fruit. I like the sound of that.
No, these apple glazes, these strawberry glazes on barbecue items. You want some candied ribs.
Yes. You like a glaze. Yes.
You know? Yes. So I'm not actually having to eat the fruit. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the flavor profile sounds outstanding. It sounds divine.
Just give me a good glaze.
We need to get somebody from Houston who's tried these. Let us know how it goes. Broadus will end up making some homemade.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Chief.
Yes, sir.
We got three down, 30 minutes to go. Proper round tripper time, Woolchuck.
Heck yes. Rangers have made a ton of moves today. We'll keep you updated on everything you need to know. That's next.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanses.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.